Good morning, everyone. Welcome. It's FBC Radio Live. It's Tuesday, January the 17th, 2023, and Super Wildcard Weekend is in the books. Last night, the Cowboys absolutely embarrassed the Buccaneers, sent Tom Brady and that 8-9 NFC South division-winning team home, and with plenty of questions moving forward. And right before we got on the air, John, I said it. I mean, expectations weren't high. I mean, I picked the Buccaneers to win this game, but the confidence level was not there, and last night was a prime example as to why, because this team did not show up. They looked horribly unprepared. And just like a team that, and I tweeted it last night, they did their best, their best opportunity to honor Ryan Jensen was to all play like it was their first snaps of the season, and that's what it looked like last night.
Yeah, like they were playing on ACL tears or whatever injury he was dealing with, and kudos to him to rush back to get back for that playoff game, because that's normally a, 10-12 month recovery, and here he is 6 months later trying to get out there and gut it out. But Dallas is a better team. I think we all agreed on that. Going in, they went 12-5 in a much more competitive division. You look at Tampa this year, 4-2 in the division, 4-8 outside the division, and you know that division, along with the AFC South, are the two worst divisions in football, and it kind of looked that way last night. There wasn't much Brady could do other than you throw 66 passes, which is just incredible. My right arm is throbbing just thinking about that. But Dallas is the better team, and they exercised a lot of demons, right? They hadn't won a road playoff game in 30 years. They had never beaten Tom Brady. Well, they did both of those things last night, but only the Dallas Cowboys could win a playoff game for the first time in 30 years on the road. And the talking point is that their kicker missed not one, not two, not three, but four extra points. That was the
not three, not four, not five.
Always have that ready to go. Just ready to go. Just in case an occasion calls for it. Yeah, and look, I mean, that's, I don't know what, as far as I know, Mars, a relatively pretty good kicker, so I don't know if he was injured, banged up, but yeah, that was a bad look, and maybe lent those of us rooting for the Buccaneers to win yesterday's game, lent us a little bit more hope than we probably should have. But look, the reality of it is, they did. They looked like they hadn't practiced all week. They looked like a team that didn't not deserve whatsoever to essentially take week 18 off, especially Mike Evans, who, I don't know, John. He just doesn't seem like he gives a bleep half the time. You know, lazy, kind of lollygagging around type of, running routes. Like, I point to, look, the interception was bad. Before people jump on top of me, it was a bad decision. It was a bad throw. I think he was trying to throw it outside the back of the end zone, but clearly he didn't make it. So there you go, folks. I criticized Tom Brady. Now, look at what the wide receivers were doing on that play. You had two guys literally run almost right into each other. Mike Evans, I don't know what he was doing. He kind of like half ran and then just kind of jogged into the middle of the field, and you had a concentration of every single Bucs skill player within like 6 yards of each other. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, this is a professional organization in the playoffs right now, and you're playing like you've never played football before, or you just have not studied any film, done any preparation whatsoever. It was pathetic.
Yeah, I mean, the field is 160 feet wide for a reason. Like, utilize as much as it as you can. And this is something I saw with the Packers this year, and quite frankly, with the Patriots as well. All three teams, it seemed like oftentimes on pass plays, there weren't really coherent route combinations, right? It would be, like you said, wide receivers standing next to each other. That can't be the way it was drawn up right on the chalkboard, because I could defend two wide receivers at that point. Well, maybe I couldn't. I'm almost 60 years old, but you get the point. Like, a competent defensive back has two wide receivers standing next to him. Well, I can kind of cover these guys. You know, they're going to throw it, and I can just deflect it, whatever the case may be. So that's not good. I mean, the route combinations are horrible. And again, we've said this a million times. You can have 10 guys on offense going in one direction, and if the 11th guy is going in a different direction, then all hell breaks loose, right, and falls apart. And, you know, Mike Evans, I think he's a really good receiver, but we've seen this from Randy Moss on down. A lot of these bigger, talented wide receivers, sometimes they kind of disappear for a quarter, or if the play is not going to be intended for them, they kind of go through the motions, which is hurtful to the team, because the idea is that you want the defense to at least think that the pass could go to them, right? Well, so they have to defend them. If they're not running their route properly, the defense can say, well, that guy's not really in the play, so we're not too concerned with him.
Well, there is one route, and I think whoever's doing the broadcast, Aikman, pointed it out, where he asked, what the hell, what was Evans doing, where he started to cut in and then just kind of wandered. You know what I mean? Right. And then it ended up being an incomplete pass. Towards the end of the half, you have 5 seconds. Here's the thing, and I don't know if this was completely on Evans, but I think you have to have a little bit more self-awareness, regardless of what the coaches call. But you have 5 seconds left in the half. You have no timeouts. You're right around where you could potentially push a long field goal if you gain some yards. Why are you running a comeback route 7 yards away from the sideline?
Right.
Like that's I mean, the exact opposite of football, situational awareness. And, you know, you're going to sit here and harp on Brady's play. When he threw it to the outside where it should have been, obviously it was an incomplete, and that's what people are going to remember. But a player like Mike Evans, a team like this Buccaneers team, shouldn't look so ill-prepared for the biggest game of their season. And that's what happened last night. And like I said, I mean, you want to sit there and point to, you know, Brady's obviously going to be the focus, all right? It wasn't his best game, but again, you know, you would think, John, that Kansas City Chiefs fans, if anyone, would be praising this game as one of the greatest games ever played because of the circumstances. However, it wasn't, and at the end of the day, you're looking at a team that looks completely lost, and if you were to believe the reports that are coming out, the plan is to fire Byron Leftwich, which, hooray, good for you, you should have done it 2 months ago, because clearly he's incapable of making any sort of adjustment. And I know Peyton Manning was talking about how, you know, you go into halftime, you don't really have adjustments. I'm talking about over the course of the season. Was there ever a time this season, John, that you watched the Buccaneers and said they have a game plan?
The only time I could really remember is most of the first half against Cincinnati, right? Because yeah, they really looked like an offense that could be dealt with. And even Tony Romo was doing the game saying, look at this, they've got motion, they've got play action, it's starting to work. And then they started turning the ball over in that game, and Cincinnati won. And then at moments against Carolina, they looked like a competent offense. For most of the year, they didn't. Again, lack of play action, lack of motion in the offense. I mean, I'm watching the Miami Dolphins with a rookie quarterback who was a seventh-round pick. They didn't have a great offensive game on Sunday, but they did put 31 points on the board. 7 came on a scoop and score, and they had great field position. But I think Brady could work in that offense.
Oh, easily.
I mean, as much as Mike McDaniel may have been vaping on the sideline, may have been high by the fourth quarter, who knows? I think he could work really well in that offense. Obviously, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, that's a pretty good start, right? But I think with that offense, I think he would eat that up. Same thing in San Francisco, a lot of motion, some play action. They just didn't use that. I mean, Brock Purdy looks like a Hall of Famer in his first 7 games, for God's sakes. I mean, you know, in that offense, it's very quarterback friendly. So there's no way he's coming back to Tampa next year.
No,
I can't. No way. They could bring back his high school coach as the offensive coordinator, and I still would say, no, I'm all set. I'm out of here.
Well, look, I mean, I don't see, like, again, I the decision to fire Leftwich was apparently made prior to the bye week, but he got saved by Todd Bowles, which, again, might be a fireable offense in and of itself. Like, if the Buccaneers are looking to move on and fix what's wrong, you need to clean house. I mean, we've seen over the course of this entire season, this coaching staff is incapable of not only making adjustments game to game, but being aware of... I mean, let's go back to the earlier in the season with the smirking laughter, you know, when presented with the fact that, hey, when you run the ball early on in these downs, you're very unsuccessful. And Byron Leftwich kind of just laughing it off like it's not a big deal. Well, no, it is a big deal, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, that's an issue. It's been an issue all season. I mean, they haven't had a run game. It's not like they abandoned the run. They just didn't have one yesterday. Not to mention, they didn't have any... I mean, the offensive line, I've been talking about the last several weeks as they were starting to play better. They were awful. Awful, awful, awful. I mean, there was, I think there was one time where, like, I think all in one motion, Brady received the ball and then didn't even get a chance to, like, take a step back before he had to throw it away and get sacked. You know what I'm saying? So, like, yes, is it, I'm not going to sit here and do what Kansas City Chiefs fans sit there and do and say this was a great game. No, he didn't have a great game. It's fine. But if, again, if you're going to sit here and tell me that, like, they're the reason that he lost or he's the reason they lost, then I'm going to tell you you're out of your mind, because you can sit there and nitpick certain things and push your agenda. But the reality of it is this team was just bad across the board. I mean, at one point, John, they let up four straight touchdown drives. Mm-hmm. Where's the defense? Todd Bowles, you're a defensive coach. You can't even put together a some semblance of a game plan that makes sense. I mean, think about this, John. I'm moving back to the Buccaneers offense because I kind of forgot to prove a point. What's the Cowboys' weakness on defense? Defending down the field.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can throw against them. I mean, they do have a really good pass rush. I think you can throw against them. I mean, Trayvon Diggs, I like him a lot, but he's a trick-or-treat cornerback, so you would think he could kind of pick on him a little bit. But especially Dallas, recently, the last month of the season, their defense was not very good. So you could have taken advantage of that.
And they did.
They got some pieces back. No, they didn't. Not at all.
That wasn't even in the game plan until the second half when they were down late. And then all of a sudden you start pushing the ball and you're doing this like little hurry-up offense. You're like, oh, okay, things are working. Well, surprise, surprise, how do you negate a bad pass rush when you don't have the appropriate protection? Well, you got to mix the plays up. Stop running straight up the middle. Stop with these stupid little screen passes that never work because you don't get the protection, you don't get the execution. I mean, there's that play early on when first of all, the fullback comes in and he's not even in the right position. Brady has to turn around and tell him where to go. And then he decides to leave Micah Parsons completely unblocked and just go down and block downfield without chipping the player that he was brought in to do. Like, that's basic football, and they're not executing that. That's on coaching. That's on preparation. That's not on the quarterback. Like, again, I mean, did he have his best game? Absolutely not. He's not adverse to criticism. He deserves some of it. But at the end of the day, if you're going to sit there and say, man, Tom Brady needs to retire. Oh, he lost the Buccaneers. Oh, he's washed. Then I'm going to call you a fool because that's what you are.
Yeah, no, he can still play. There's no question about it. And I think he wants to play next year. Where's it going to be? Does he go to the Raiders? I'm not sure what the relationship is with Josh McDaniels, but they have some really nice offensive pieces, starting with Davante Adams. That would be a lethal combination because Adams is a precise route runner who runs every route as if it's last. That's why I believe he's the best wide receiver in football. I could see Adams and Brady having an incredible bond, you know, because they're both workaholics. Mm-hmm. That would be an interesting place to go. I mean, we've heard some rumors that Billy O'Brien could end up being the offensive coordinator in Tampa Bay. I mean, at that point, just make him the head coach. He's a better head coach than Todd Bowles.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't he? I mean,
I'm not even a big Bill O'Brien fan. I just...
No, but you know what? He got to the playoffs, what, 4 out of 7 years in Houston?
Yeah.
And I think twice without Deshaun Watson. I mean, it was T.J. Yates one point and Brian Hoyer another time. I mean, he got to the playoffs with middling, at best, quarterbacks. I mean, yeah, he won a couple times with Deshaun Watson, who I think he helped become a really good quarterback. So if you're going to go bring in Billy O'Brien, make him the head coach at that point. We've kind of seen that Todd Bowles is not a good head coach, really good coordinator. I mean, it's the Peter principle. And because you're a great coordinator doesn't make you a great head coach. So I don't even want to see him there next year, to be honest with you. I don't even like the uniform. I'm a big uniform guy. I want to see him in black and silver. I think that'd be really cool.
Hey, look, any excuse I have to take to go out to Vegas more, by all means, I'm okay with that.
Well, isn't that where aging acts go, right?
Yeah.
You know, like you reach a certain age and you wind down a little bit, you go to Vegas.
Yeah, well, first Tom Brady followed me down to Florida, and now that I've been frequenting Las Vegas more often, it makes sense that he will now follow me there. It's kind of sad, though, that he's so obsessed with me.
Well, he's following you, and obviously, why wouldn't he, you know?
Obviously. You know? But, yeah, look, I'm right there with you because I look at this team now, and I thought they – do I think they should have won a Super Bowl this year? I don't know, but I think you could have put together a season so much better than what you had based on the talent that you had. And I think you've done a lot of things that have hurt yourself throughout the season. Oftentimes we're seeing, again, just so many times where they just look lost on both sides of the ball with no like real rhythm, no nothing. And I think, again, it's, that's there you go, Joel. Tom to Detroit. That actually doesn't even seem too terrible of an idea.
I've been pushing that for years. Why not go to losingest franchise in the history of sports?
Well, after Tampa, right? After Tampa, because
well,
that's what Tampa was.
Tampa did win a Super Bowl and had playoff. Detroit's won one playoff game since 1957. Like that's.
Well, to be fair, Tampa had only won six playoff games, and they all most of them came in that one season. They won a Super Bowl, so
half of them came in the one season, right? Yeah, 2002. But yeah, go to Detroit. Why not? Right.
Well, it's like you know. Okay, so it's funny, and like I'm seeing, and I saw this yesterday, and one of our one of the fan favorite analysts on ESPN, and I won't name names. Thought you know, and this is what's so silly. Like at some point, John, like what happened? I thought jokes were supposed to be somewhat clever and like creative, not like just like saying something that's obviously not true, but like, you know, it's going to, you know, basically appeal to the masses. So like when Brady threw that interception, that was after the little like shuttle pass or whatever. Someone tweeted out along the lines of, well, first Tom wanted to be Patrick Mahomes and he turned into Josh Allen. And I'm like thinking to myself, like, doesn't Patrick Mahomes have just as many, if not more, red zone interceptions than Josh Allen and pretty much every other quarterback in the league? Spoiler alert. It's true. It's true.
Yep.
It's not an exaggeration. Yep. But that's the thing. I'm saying, like, you're talking about a, you know, ESPN personality that is revered by a lot of people. Oh, this person's so smart. Oh, this is such a great comment. This person's a little edgy and whatever. But it's like, what you're doing is basically just pushing and creating this narrative that just doesn't exist. And that type of stuff bugs me because people eat it up and it's like, so now, oh, so you're looking at, oh, Patrick Mahomes obviously never throws interceptions, but he does. In fact, he's doing exactly what you're claiming he doesn't do. So I'm sitting here like, ugh, insult to injury, John. Just nothing I hate more than bad football and bad analytics. And that's what we're getting pretty much every single time when we watch Brady play and then when we watch the commentary afterwards.
Well, I think what happens, obviously, he's still the biggest star in the league, or at least worldwide the biggest star. I mean, you can debate Mahomes, Rodgers, all these great young quarterbacks are all emerging stars, but Tom Brady is still the biggest star in the NFL. So one way to build up your Q rating or get more clicks is to criticize the guy. Look, I mean, Skip Bayless has made a living of attacking LeBron James, right? So there's going to be people out there that look at it and say, well, if I attack Tom Brady, I can be that guy. Rather than just giving fair analysis, let me just beat the guy down. And I don't think Brady pays much attention to it. Although you never know with him, he may pay attention to it and it fuels him, right? He's going to take that one doubter and spend the offseason getting ready to go to Las Vegas or wherever else is going to play. So, yeah, I mean, that's the way it works out there. And again, you can't just have everybody gushing and, you know, with all the plaudits, but let's give us some fair analysis. That's his first red zone interception as a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That blows my mind.
Over
I'm surprised there aren't more red zone interceptions, right? Because it's like so crowded in there with.
But you knew it was happening as soon as they started to bombard us with those stats. I literally sat on the couch. I'm like, no.
Yeah,
please,
I know.
Oh, why?
This guy's never missed a field goal inside of 40 yards.
Yeah,
and
just like that, it's what it is. But I mean, exactly. And it's like all I ask is for some like reasonable commentary. Like, and I say it all the time. I'm trying to get the term kind of, you know, to catch fire. It's performative analytics. Like, facts don't matter. Accuracy doesn't matter. It's about getting a reaction, whether it's being loud and boisterous on TV and just saying a bunch of things. Like, I mean, I had to turn First Take off. I mean, I don't know why I had it on to begin with. Actually, I do because I had it on ESPN and I didn't change the channel by the time it came on yesterday. But I had to turn it off because it was just screaming back and forth. And I really didn't know what the hell they were talking about. It was just, but it's all performative. And in the same sense, you know, like I said, making these jokes and trying to be witty. Like, that's the thing. People are like, oh, that's such a burn. You got him. Oh, you didn't go. Oh, you went there. I can't believe, you know, that type of reaction. Like, oh, my God, you're so edgy. You know, I'm trying not to say the person's name because I'm not trying to, you know, pinpoint one person. But that's the reaction people get when in reality, all you're saying is like, you know what I mean? It's like you're just making up a narrative. And it's like, to me, that's not clever. That's not what joking is. Like, if you're going to make a clever joke, then be clever about it. Don't just like create your own fiction and then make your joke based on that, because that's not funny.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously follow the NFL. I follow the NBA probably even closer. And like Tim Legler to me is like one of the very best analysts in all of basketball. And he's kind of on the B team or the C team at ESPN when it comes to maybe pregame or halftime. Mm-hmm. He's really good. He's one of those guys that when you listen to him, you actually learn. And he's fair. He doesn't have favorites. But, you know, maybe he's not the most charismatic guy. So why put him on a show? And I'm going to steal this from someone. I won't tell you who I stole it from. But I've heard this, that a lot of these shows with First Take, any of these shows that are on, that the idea is for the people on there, they're constantly like standing and moving and waving their arms. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm back at, you know, an Italian wedding that I may have attended.
Family reunion.
Everybody, a family reunion. Everybody's very demonstrative. And the idea behind that is so much of what is on, or at least those networks are on in like airports, bars, no one's really listening to what they're saying, but they kind of will look up and say, oh, look at the guy's waving his arms. It must be pretty profound. And it still gets ratings because the TV's on. So maybe that's what they're doing. It's certainly not PBS where two people are sitting in a humdrum studio and, you know, with black curtains behind them. I'm probably going way back to, you know, like years ago, but people are just actually having a conversation, actually listening to what they say rather than just watching how they're flailing their arms or whatever.
Yeah, and look, I mean, it makes sense because it's an easy way to consume. And, you know, not everyone's going to want to, you know, I always kind of bring up the idea, you know, going back to, I hate bringing up Deflategate, but, you know, as obviously a Patriots fan and someone who was invested in what was happening, of course I'm going to pay far more attention to what's going on. Of course I'm going to read between the lines. A fan of the Ravens, they don't care. They just hear, oh, Patriots are cheaters, I'm just going to go with it. You know, whatever. Jump on the keywords. And that's mm-hmm. essentially what analytics are now. It's like now we're getting back to ex-athletes getting on TV saying, like, it's time for him to retire. Again, who the hell are you to tell another person that's better at his profession than you are to retire? It's time to retire. That's not a conversation. Like, that's not a conversation you go up to him in person and tell him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to, like, play off this, like, oh, you wouldn't say that to his face. No, this isn't a tough guy thing. This is an out-of-respect thing. Like, if anyone understands what someone like Tom Brady's going through right now, the struggle of, do I continue playing? Do I not? You know, what's going to happen? It should be ex-athletes. But they have no shame getting up there saying, oh, it's time to retire, this, that, and the other. But again, they'll sit there and pinpoint at the interception. I saw so many people, oh, what a one of Tom Brady's worst passes. And again, no one's defending the pass. But is anyone out there, again, talking about what a absolute mess that entire play was, where you have, and I equated this to when I was playing hockey as a Mike, John, where all five players from each side of the team literally just chased the puck. There's no passing. Right. There's no formation. It's just blobs of young kids going one side of the rink to the other, to the other, to the other. And what we saw yesterday was all the Buck skill position players at various rates of speed and effort somehow congregate all in the middle of the field on about, you know, a fourth of what the actual end zone field covered. And that to me was just that's just inexcusable.
Yeah, I don't get it. And I see more of it in the NFL. Like I said, I've seen it with the Packers a lot, the Patriots, Tampa. I mean, probably the three teams I watch more than any other. I mean, I watch as many games as possible. But yeah, you could just see these route combinations that don't get people open. I mean, then you see really creative offenses. Like I'm watching San Francisco and Deebo Samuel, who's an elite receiver, is wide open somehow. Because obviously that's a creative offense led by a really good offensive coach in Kyle Shanahan. And next thing you know, Brock Purdy's playing, you know, pitch and catch with Deebo Samuel, who then just takes it 50 yards down the sideline for a touchdown. And like, where's the defense? Well, the offense created a situation where they got the wide receiver open. We used to see that all the time with Brady and Josh McDaniels. Like other teams would say, why can't we cover these guys? But the scheme was so airtight and so precise that you'd get Julian Edelman or Rob Gronkowski or whoever open. And it made the offense that much easier for Tom Brady to deal with. Now he's being asked to carry the offense, you know, from the huddle on out and try to almost pull off miracles. Again, there's no way that that's drawn up that way. Someone was off board with that, and maybe two wide receivers were off board, and it leads to an interception.
Yeah, and it's like, again, I mean, if that was the design, then I don't know. But you go back to that, if you remember the throw to Cameron Brate in quadruple coverage. Look, throwing to Cameron Brate when he's wide open is risk enough, let alone in quadruple coverage. But if you watch that play unfold, it looked like him and Mike Evans were running to the same exact spot.
Right.
And, like, if you're Tom Brady, you're rolling out. First of all, you roll out to the right, and you have no routes going to the right. They all go to the left. What kind of play design is that? So not only do you have that, now you have a situation where your two biggest targets are both literally in the same line running to the same section of the field in the back corner. So you're limiting the area in which you can throw the ball. Not to mention, it's like the MVP voting. We talk about it all the time. Is one player going to kind of, yeah, are they going to split the vote? Well, Mike Evans and Cameron Brate split the route, and it led to almost a near disaster. And it's again, I'm looking at that, and that's why I said yesterday it looks like they hadn't practiced, and people have said, well, they haven't looked good all year. I'm like, I understand. That's why this is even more alarming, because based on what they've looked like all season, last night was even worse. Even worse, John. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, they really didn't start putting points on the board until the game was over, so it wasn't like they were competitive at any point. So, yeah, it was frustrating to watch. And, again, I'm all in favor of him getting the hell out of Tampa. No offense. But I want to see him elsewhere. And I think he'll play next year. I hope he plays next year. Why not? You know, I'm sure like Tony Romo and Troy Aikman, who, you know, praise Brady as much as anyone else and for good reason, they would have loved to have played longer in their careers, right? But Aikman was dealing with multiple concussions, and Romo had some concussion issues, but also severe back issues. I'm sure they would have liked to have played a few more years, you know, and every chance you get that opportunity to play, go ahead and do it. Who's he harming? He's still a top quarterback. Is he the best quarterback in football now? No, but I wouldn't bet against him in most situations. So go ahead and play, find a new place to go, whether it's, I don't know, Miami, the Jets, the Raiders, pick a place. I think there's still plenty of suitors out there for him. I think he could still play for another 2 years.
Well, and that's the thing, John. And as much as people will sit there and point to Ryan Clark or Shannon Sharp, I mean, for God's sakes, I mean, the guy sits there and says he's not a hater. It's like, no, you are. You are. I don't know if it's legit or not. But you are. It's either part of your shtick or you actually feel this way. I mean, it's okay. I mean, everyone sees it for what it is. You're not like this, you know, purveyor of objectivity. I mean, this has been kind of your shtick since you've been on Undisputed. So, like, NFL teams don't listen to those people. You know what I mean? They're not, no. Well, I mean, the Colts might have been different because maybe they listened to Jeff Saturday and decided he was a head coach. But the point is, like, they're not sitting there saying, like, oh, well, Ryan Clark says Tom Brady's washed. No, I mean, they're going to look at the actual execution, all the situations, all the context that is just so void in a lot of these analytics. And, again, it creates these ridiculous narratives where half the things that people talk about just aren't true, and then you're – it's frustrating. I shouldn't be frustrated. I understand that. It drives me nuts, and it's something I just need to let go. But at the same time, it's just, to me, I can't let go of just unabashed lie-telling, you know? Like, just, we will say whatever we want because it doesn't matter. Even if you get called out, it doesn't matter.
Well, again, with a lot of these shows, getting called out is actually a good thing because that means you're getting some traction, right? I mean, like, yeah, I don't think people realize how few people watch these shows because we watch them, we talk about them, we have all of that content that they present. But for the most part, I think First Take, you know, Get Up, they get about maybe 1 million viewers a day. I know the shows on Fox Sports 1 get about 300 to 400,000. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, that's not a lot of people, but again,
it correlates with people on Twitter, unfortunately.
Exactly. It's exactly it. You just nailed it. Yeah, it's like, in a sense, it's almost like politics, although, you know, the political networks do get more viewers.
Yeah,
everyone's kind of interested in that stuff. Not everybody's interested in football. I still am amazed that only a third of the country watches the Super Bowl. Like, everybody I know watches the Super Bowl, but apparently 2/3 of the country doesn't watch the Super Bowl. But that just shows you that the people have different interests. So, but what they do is a lot of the way that these guys get a lot of traction is, you know, major sports talk radio shows come back from breaks with comments from who? Skip Bayless or Shannon Sharp or Colin Cowherd or Stephen A. Smith or whoever. That's where they get a lot of traction. I mean, I had a friend of mine who worked at one of the sports stations in town say they probably get more ears listening to our show when we play their cuts than actually people watching them on their network, and he's not far off on that. So that's what they do. And when are they going to play your cuts? When you say kind of crazy things, you know, you're not going to be a measured 45-second cut that really doesn't move the needle. Say something crazy and people react to it.
Yeah, and look, I mean, that's the nature of what the business is now. It doesn't mean I have to like it. And that's my mm-hmm. biggest problem. So, like, you know, I get up there and I'm often I guess misunderstood, because like people tend to put a lot of words in my mouth.
You're the James Dean. You're the James yes. Dean of sports talk.
Yes. Thank you. I like
that's
that.
That's
incredibly
good
looking,
I mean,
stylish.
Yeah. Suave. You got a leather jacket, you got a cigarette hanging from your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
A rebel with a cause.
My ego just grew 3 times today.
Well, but, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, yeah. Better that than my heart, because that would be a problem.
True.
anyone ever think about that? Like the Grinch, it's like, oh, his heart grew 3 sizes that day. It's like, well, he should be going to the hospital if that's the case. I mean,
that's not good
at all. But nope. Okay, you know, let's move past my terrible jokes. But it drives me nuts, because I've said it before and I'll say it again. I think it's creating just this generation of awful fans. There's no, like, and I feel like there's no coming back from it. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's victimized. Everyone's this, everyone's that. It's just, I can't deal with it. And again, the inaccuracy of so many of the conversations that are had on a daily basis is just, it's, maybe I'm, call me a little old fashioned, but I feel like the integrity of the profession has certainly, the standard has slipped quite a bit when it comes to truth telling and just accuracy, because, you know, again, that doesn't get clicks necessarily. What gets clicks
This happen with the AB comparisons? Like, you know, LeBron, Michael Jordan, that's the biggest debate in the NBA, and Belichick, Brady. Because you think Brady was more responsible for the 6 Super Bowls, doesn't make you think that Bill Belichick is an awful coach.
No.
Because you think LeBron is the greatest player ever doesn't make you have to say that Michael Jordan is a terrible player. I think LeBron's 1, Jordan's 2. Go at it mm-hmm. as much as you want. But what happens is in these discussions, because people can't get into nuance, really.
No.
Or facts,
well, it's,
or
it's,
whatever.
It's too
they
difficult.
They just bash some other guy. Yeah. You know, so that's what happens.
Well, because no one has any substance to debate. And oftentimes I find myself in these conversations where it's like, what, you hate Patrick Mahomes? I'm like, no, I don't. But when people come up here constantly with the ridiculous, like, over-the-top statements and quite frankly, a lot of them very inaccurate, yes, I'm going to have a problem with it. And I'm going to point it out, and I'm going to be on top of it. Doesn't mean I hate the kid. Doesn't mean I think he sucks. I think he's a great quarterback. You'd be foolish not to think he's a great quarterback. But do I think he's and this is what happened recently. It was like, I said he's nowhere in the top five discussion, I think, was the point. And then someone said GOAT discussion. And I said, no, absolutely not. That's not me saying I think he sucks or he's not a good quarterback, which that's what people take, though. They're like, oh, you think Patrick Mahomes sucks? No, I don't. Please. Find wherever I said that and give me a screenshot. Trust me, my opinions are out there. I'm not hiding from any opinion. So, like, when people sit there and say, like, oh, you've never criticized Brady. Well, first of all, yes, I have. I've done it on the show. But second, John, and people are like, you know, this is constantly, oh, Brady gets all the credit for wins and none of the blame for losses. Well, John, how many elite all-time quarterbacks actually lose games for their team?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it gets a little deeper in the sense that you would expect them. I mean, like, okay, Aaron Rodgers didn't play terrible against the 49ers last year, but he could have played better. And if he had played better, they would have won. So,
I think the bigger point is, and this is where I think people like why can't Brady get blamed for loss? You're going to blame him for this loss? I mean, go ahead. If you want to sit there and harp on him, but if you're not going to mention everything else that went into it, then you're just pushing a narrative that you're trying to dispel the opposite way. So, you know, the point is like, yes, there are instances where those quarterbacks don't play well, and it's certainly a big reason why they lose. But first of all, they don't lose a lot. Like, Tom Brady doesn't lose a lot. So obviously he's going to get more blame or more credit than not, which, I mean, it's just math. He's won far more than he's lost. So, well, guess what? Sheer numbers wise, he's not going to get blamed for it. So
35-13 career wise in the postseason. That's insane. That really, seriously, because a lot of the great quarterbacks, you know, Rodgers is 11-10 in the postseason. Manning, I believe, by winning Super Bowl 50, Super Bowl 50, finally went over 500. He was 14 and 13. Those are all time great quarterbacks. I think Montana was one that won about 70% of his postseason games. Brady's, you know, knocking on the door of 75% winning percentage in the postseason. That's nuts.
Yeah. And then with a far greater sample size, too. We're not just talking about a couple more games. We're talking more than double.
Three full seasons of postseason games.
That's triple, what Montana did.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be like saying I have this baseball player who's played 500 postseason games.
Yeah.
Like, that's never going to happen.
Yeah. So, I'm right there with you. We'll see. It's going to be interesting to see, obviously, what he decides. He says he's going to take it day by day. And I think based on, you know, how he seemed to kind of come to the conclusion a little bit too quickly last year, I think he's going to take his time. But I don't see how he's going to walk away from this. The haters are rejoicing today. It's one of those sad, pathetic days where they feel like they've won when reality, they just continue to prove that they're losing by celebrating this. They're going to come up from the woodwork and, you know, celebrate Brady being washed. Oh, Father Time finally caught up to him and he sucked this, that, and the other. The reality of it is he can still play. And anyone who's watching objectively knows that, I mean, that throw to Mike Evans that he dropped. talk about a complete, that's what I think I tweeted that Matthew McConaughey GIF out with him crushing the can from True Detective. Time is a flat circle because here we are, right again. I mean that was almost as bad as the Carolina drop, almost. Mm-hmm. Again, if you're going to sit there and say or try to convince yourself that the guy's washed or he can't play or, you know, he's not better than at least half the league, then you're kidding yourself and you look foolish. Like, that's the thing. Like, I understand it doesn't really matter because half these people hide behind, like, pictures and fake names, so it doesn't really matter. But the reality of it is you look like a fool. I mean, you really do, because it's just kind of showing that you don't really understand the game and you're not really watching it from any sort of objective nature. Like, you're just kind of trying to celebrate some guy's demise. And look, I don't blame you. The guy whooped up on you probably for a long time, so, you know, you're a little bit bitter. I understand it. It's okay. Just know that it makes you look like a fool when you continue to spout these things that just, one, aren't true, or two, horribly inaccurate.
Yep, absolutely. He can definitely still play, and I hope he plays next year.
I do, too. Plus, like I said, if it's in Vegas, it just gives me more of an excuse to go out to Vegas, so I'm taking that as a potential. So, all right, we're going to...
And the Patriots play at Vegas next year.
Oh, ooh.
Again.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Prime time.
Yep. We'll do a FBC Radio Live broadcast from Las Vegas, coming from you from Allegiant Stadium. Also not a bad thing having to play half your games in a dome. I just, you know, going to Denver is always tricky, but anyways, we're going to wrap it up here today. Tune in on Thursday as we kind of really shift gears towards divisional round weekend this weekend, as obviously all the matchups are set, and I think there's potential to have some really, really good weekend of football coming up. So, so be sure to tune in on Thursday. We will be back. We'll start talking about that. So in the meantime, give us a follow on Twitter at FPC Radio Live. And of course, head over to fullpresscoverage.com to check out all the latest and greatest. So thank you, everyone, and we will talk to you then.